The neighborhoods that we're targeting are some rough areas. This last week, I'm dealing with some issues concerning suicide, and it's something when you know that you're dealing with some hard issues. You're dealing with drugs, the gangs, the poverty issue, and dealing with kids that are making some just straight out bad choices, only for the reason that many of them don't even know that there was another option for a choice. So the ability to go into these neighborhoods and see what we can do to reach out to them. For the last so many years, being able to share this journey that I take with you and you help me pray is huge. I'm saying this because, you see, I know you understand. You've heard there's two schools of thought. There's like, if you want to do something right, you do it yourself. That's one way. And there's another way that if you want to get something done, you find help with those that are already doing something. And that's the school of thought that I'm leaning to. You see, I come to you asking for help because you understand the concept of outreach, the fact that you have the ministry next door. Because of the outreach and you're doing, the heart and care about reaching into the community, about helping people within the community have an opportunity to understand about Christ. Now, the dynamics are different here in the suburbs versus in the inner city. But it's the creating an opportunity for people to come and to know about Christ, regardless if it's through sports or athletics or educational programming or just tangible things like food and clothing and after-school programs or something. Because I know you guys understand this. This is why it is such a joy to come and be able to share in the burden of where I'm at. And so I thank you guys because it's huge. I can speak, and I speak in many settings. I was in California yesterday, and different people groups that don't have an understanding of this whatsoever. They clearly have an understanding of what it means to bless the body within the church, to do what you can within the church, and that's needed, that's healthy, that's to keep things going. But there's never a concept about what can we do creatively to reach those out there. You understand by having this. Therefore, I come to you. I come to you and I say, please help me pray. And I made a statement, and I think it was what Lisa was referring to, when the idea that it's a beautiful thing when you see someone who's involved in gangs and drugs, and you see somebody who's involved in a lifestyle that you know is not just, they're not making right choices. When you see that person loving God, when you see that person that's crying out to God. Again, many of you know, and there's some that don't, that was me. That was me to that place where I started going to a church. And I didn't know any of the songs. I didn't know anything what they were doing. But to be able to go to this church, this one church that I would go to is called Victory Outreach. And it actually meant in a funeral home. And that was, talk about faith and praying for the dead. I mean, they worked, no, I'm joking. But it was just, the idea of being in this funeral home, literally, you know, the place could sit about 200. And there was kids from the neighborhood, like myself. This is in San Jose, California. And we're in there. And I know I probably shared this with you, but I just probably need to share it again. And the idea that there was a song that maybe a lot of you have probably heard before. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Anybody ever heard that before? Just a few of you? Okay. Well, it would go on and say things like, you know, I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And it's an old chorus, but in that particular church, it was basically packed, filled with people from the neighborhood, and it would sing things like this. I once was a prostitute, but Jesus set me free. I once was a drug addict, but Jesus set me free. I once was a wino, but Jesus set me free. You know, you're singing that, and you're like, oh. And then you look, and you know, you're singing that chorus, and then you look around, and you're like, okay, it fits. You know, it pretty much fits. Well, it's where I belonged at the time. But where I'm at now, as what God is doing in my life, is, yeah, to pursue where God is leading, and at the same time, always reaching opportunities for people to have that experience that God gave me, that He loved me so much that He was willing to send people into my neighborhood. Could someone help me with a glass of water? Last week, as we're continuing with the series that I've been sharing here about God's lists, His to-do list, we talked about the list that He cares about for Him, the list that He gave us about the enemy. We talked last week about the list about how to engage with each other. We ended last week with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read some of that for you again. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, and guidance, and the different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? It's a question he's asking. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And he ends chapter 12 by saying, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Last week, I think it was just a little, I felt like I gave part of the puzzle. I felt leaving last week, it didn't have a completion of what it needed to, because I believe the second part is for here today. Today, I want to entitle this, The Excellent List. You see, we talked about last week about the ability of a list that God gives us and how to get along with each other, how to deal with each other. He gave us the positions. Some refer to them as the fivefold ministry: apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and prophets. Did I say that one already? Okay, did I say all of them? Yes. Five. And then when I just read to you in Corinthians, explaining that there's different levels and different positions and different places that each one of us should go. And some churches really lean on the position, and they lean on the title. And a minister could really lean on their position. They'll even pass out cards that say, I am the most excellent person, apostle, prophet, person, whatever. And they lean to that and focus on that title. I believe that God here, when we read this and looked at it, was saying each one of us has a part in this picture. I broke it down, remember, last week in reference to each of those positions could even apply to the five senses. How, remember the prodigal son, when he came, the Bible says, when he came to his senses, we have five, when he came to his senses, he realized the situation that he was in. It's like, you could see maybe what's going on, but you're not really listening. But when all senses start working together, when all of the positions that are described here, beyond the five, and there's even more of miracles and helps and so on, when everybody starts working together, it's a beautiful thing to see what God is going to do. And yet, for no one to ever walk out of this room ever feeling, well, I'm not significant. I really don't have anything to do. I don't really can't do anything or much of anything. The ability for all of us to work together. But again, last week it felt like just a little bit like we were missing something, and I believe this is what it is today. You see, it doesn't just end there, but it continues. He goes, now I want to show you a more excellent way. In other versions, it says, I want to show you a better way. He goes, there's this particular way of how to work and get along with each other. Each having their job title, each having their position, each having their place, and you do good in your work. That's great. But now I want to show you a better way. I want to show you an excellent way and how to get along with each other. I want to read the following chapter, but I want to read it from the Message version. I just like the way it's stated here. And verse 1. I'm going to read through it, so bear with me. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day. And if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, doesn't take pleasure in flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trust God always, always looks for the best and never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies, inspired speech will be over someday, praying in tongues will end, understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. There's a few more verses. When I was an infant in my mother's breast, I girdled and cooled as any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it all clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. It continues a few more verses, but for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us towards the consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope, love extravagantly, and the best of these is love. I know that was a lot I read. Sorry, for some reason I'm having a hard time reading today, but it was something that I wanted to focus on. Yes, you might say, well, you timed it right with Valentine's coming around the corner here. And I even wore my red shirt, okay? And so, I mean, somebody said one time, is that a blouse? I go, no, man, it's not a blouse, you know? So I run hard when it comes to the concept of the five. You see, in the ministry that I pursue, and again, my life, is this fivefold ministry. But you got to hear me. Not on the positions. But I run this way. Because of the verse we just read. And the verses. So people ask us, well, what is your focus? What do you do? Well, Jesus said, when I was hungry and thirsty. Jesus said, when I was naked. Jesus said, when I was lonely. He said, when I was sick. But when I was in trouble, basically you were there for me. That's the fivefold that the Lord's talking about here. You see, people many times in our religious ways, we push for our way. I'm right. They're wrong. I'm reading it correctly. They're doing it wrong. And we push for our version. We push for what we interpret. But if we could stand in the mountaintop screaming, I am correct, I am right, but don't love, we miss everything. We prayed, and thank you, we prayed for our country. And we see what's going on. But it seems like the chaos that's going on is not the idea that people trying to outlove each other. It's more the idea of trying to outwit each other or saying that they're right or they're wrong. Pushing more for policy, pushing more for their process, pushing more for this and that. And yet people are just fighting against each other, saying they're right. But what is it if you're at that place where you're right, but you don't have love? I shared this last week, and I've shared it in front of public scenarios, where there are so many that are protesting against how treating refugees. My friends, I work with refugees for 17 years. I'm in the neighborhood. These are the neighborhoods I'm asking you to help me pray for. I don't see any of those protesters. I don't see any of them there in the neighborhood. actually, we started talking to some and asking, hey, I have an opportunity for you to help me with refugees. Could you help me adopt this family? Oh, well, no, I can't really, do something. But you're protesting, you're holding signs that are saying, you know, stop treating this people, stop doing that. But yet, you're doing all that to prove a point, but you really don't love. Because you're not willing to get in there and help me love these people. I'm not on a political issue right here, my friend. I'm talking about a biblical issue. Okay, so you won this battle. But the war is really about what are you and I going to do about reaching out to people that need help. What are we really going to do? But it's my right. My friend, you and I know some of you are not going to like what I'm going to say, but I felt in love, this is the way I got to say it. So if I'm not asked to come back, I understand. You and I, when we give our lives to God, you have a right, and that's the right to share the gospel. You have the right to proclaim the truth of who God is. Period. No, Alfred, you don't understand. I have the right as an American. I have the right as a human. I have the right as this. When we say, Lord, here am I. I give you my life. My life doesn't belong to me anymore. The Lord himself said, when you are in my hand, no one can take you out of my hand. You are me. It says, scripture throughout, I am clay. He is the potter. I am the clay. He molds me. He shapes me. He directs me. He helps me. For what purpose? Just to be mighty and strong? No, to be a vessel of his love. What I just read to you here was a description of the Lord himself. We'll go through just a little bit here. For the love is, love is, love is. And it said many times, love is not. There is a clear list of two different things here of what love really is and what love really isn't. Or put it this way, who God really is and who God really isn't. For always us to be in a battle about each other's wrongs, that's not God. Now, does that mean that we become a doormat? And we let anybody just trample all over? Absolutely not. But you need and I need to understand our role as Christians, our role as Bible-believing people, men and women of God, is to share this good news, whether it's popular or not. Well, how does that help me with my day-to-day? My friend, you and I are going to have difficulties and stresses and disagreements with even the closest ones that we love, our spouses, our children, our workmates, our schoolmates, whoever it is, we're going to have our challenges and our difficulties with them. But it's yours and my responsibility to see what can we do to try to know the situation I'm dealing with, yet still love them. Love them through what is it they're going through. I'm taught at the school in Layton, I taught a class on leadership. It's something, it's a 12-hour seminar that I teach and have taught called My Design, and got that from one of our pastors that passed away, Pastor Eric Van Rie. And I took this test, and it's a series of tests, but I took a fraction of that and gave it to some of my students about leadership, about their position and their role. And I said, I'm going to prove to you when you walk out of this class, you're going to understand that you clearly are a leader, and I'm going to show you what kind. Not because I'm going to tell you what kind you are. You are going to tell me what kind you are. This was an amazing time for these kids because a lot of them walked out. The shyest kid, the most quietest kid came out of there with like, wow, I didn't realize I am a leader. I didn't realize I have this in me. And here's the thing about this. You see, each one of us have so much about what's inside of us that's ready to come out, that's ready to scream out, that's ready to do it. That God wants to use you in such a powerful way to change your world around you. But I could be the greatest leader, but if I don't understand how to love the people around me, starting with my family, how do I love them? How do I reach out to them? Let me just read some of these things again. This is the most excellent way. Paul was writing this and he says, I want to show you. This is the way to get along, but I'm going to show you a better way. And he describes right in here again. I want to take you to verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Now I'm reading from the NIV version. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. It goes on and on. And at the very end of this whole thing, verse 13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I prayed hard, Lord, this message, I don't think it's timely because of what's going on in this church. I don't think it's timely because that it's Valentine's Day. I think it's just timely because of where we're at in the view of what's going on in the world. That you and I, if we could understand the clarity of who God is, obviously, we have people that are taking God's name and using it in such a way, we refer to them as ISIS and ISIL and so on. And they said in the name of God that they would, and Allah, that they are doing this. They're doing what they're doing. But yet, as I read scripture here, that's not God whatsoever. That's not God at all. Again, I think people have a hard time understanding the concept of being willing to give everything for the person next to you. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, ability, everything you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself. How could you do that? How do you love your neighbor as yourself? I believe you and I, when you look in the mirror, you love yourself 100%. Excuse me, that one's mine. You love yourself. You take care. I look at all of you. You're beautiful. You clearly love yourself. How is it possible mathematically to give 100% to you and 100% to someone else? Right? In the world's perspective, it doesn't make sense whatsoever. Love God with everything you got. Love your neighbor just like you love you. Well, I love me 100%. I do what I do for me. How do I love my neighbor? How do I reach out to my neighbor? Without God, it's not possible. Not possible. But in God it is. You see, God's math is a little different. Portion of scripture says that one could put 1,000 to flight, but two could put 10,000 to flight. What that is saying, one could beat up 1,000, but two could beat up 10,000. Okay, if I do my math right, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. When I realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I can even love the person around me who's causing me problem, who's causing me issue, who's causing me frustration, who's causing me just so much headache, that I could still love them. I may not like what they do, I may not appreciate what they do, but I could still love them. It's so easy for us to give up on people because they don't agree with us. And we curse them. Worse than we ever do is we dehumanize them. And we put them as a demographic. Those people. Those people. Those people. One of the most troubling things that I ever hear is people will always say, hey, let's go help Alfred, help reach them ethnic kids. I'm like, ugh. Ethnic kids. I go, and if you're breathing, you're ethnic. Everyone's ethnic to each other. I mean, think about that. But when there's this position of like, up here, let's go reach them people. It's like, no. It's the joy and the beauty that you get to look at your neighbor and see the whites of their eyes and to be able to love on that person and to reach out to that person and to care for that person. Here, remember, let's look at our list again. The number one list we talked about is the list of salvation, that your name is in the book of life. That was the list we talked about. That's what God cares about most, that none would perish. The second list we talked about was the list that God set for us in Ephesians 6, the armor of God. The armor of God was not meant for you. Oh, it's meant for you to wear, but not for you. It's meant to defeat the ways of the enemy. That's the list he has you to know how to confront the ways of the enemy, that you're not fighting, again, against flesh and blood. You're fighting against principalities and powers of the air. Our battle, our struggle is not on this earth against each other. Our struggle is against the enemy. And he gave us that list of armor. Last week, how to get along. Find your place. Basically, what it, in a nutshell, find your place. But today kind of helps solidify this. Find your place, but once you get there, you better know how to love people. Because if you get to your place of position, your place of prestige, your place of status, your place of whatever, and you don't know how to love, it says you lose everything. Doesn't matter what your title is. Doesn't matter what your last name is. Doesn't matter what side of the tracks you live on. Doesn't matter about how much money you have. Doesn't matter if they call you sir or doctor or they call you your honor. It doesn't matter. Because if you don't have love, you don't have anything. That's crazy. What the Bible is very clear. It says God is love. Now, for some that are just still like, okay, does that mean then when sin comes, what do we do? Do we just shut our mouth? No. We clearly understand that we have to have a position according to Scripture, according to the Word of God. And it may not be popular, because it's not right now here in the United States. When you take a stand for biblical view, biblical, not your personal view, but biblical view, people don't accept it. Yesterday, in California, when I was flying back, I was wearing a sweatshirt, and it said the Almighty on it. It was a cool shirt. And it had scripture right here. The lady taking the tickets. Now, I'm in Southern Cal. It's a very liberal area. And I'm in Orange County. And the lady is so nice. I mean, she's, yes, sir, helping everybody with their tickets and going through. And she comes, and you could just see her eyeballs just staring right at my shirt. And she sees the sleeve. And she just drastically changed. It was like, wow, night and day. Now, I could probably say, well, it's because of my skin color. People jump to that very quickly now. It's my skin color. But she was darker than me. You know, so that wasn't it. But it was that she saw that I was a Christian. Her conscience changed. It was drastic change. And I tried to say, are you having a good day? Hello. And she just treated, and it was just so obvious. My wife was like, whoa, what was that about? I said, she must have got offended that I had the verses on my arm and so on. Again, that's only my assumption, but it was clearly nice. And I was like, wow. You know, Jesus said when he was in the upper room, he goes, they're not going to like you. Oh, not because of you. They're not going to like you because you got me. And once you let them know that I live in you, they're not going to like you because of me. I mean, you're a nice guy. Who's not to like you? But because of me, they're not going to go. He goes, as I have suffered, you're going to suffer. Does that mean I shut my mouth because I don't like suffering? No. I have to take a stand when it comes to biblical view. But yet, at the same time, as I take a stand, I could do it in loving without judging. I can. I could do it in loving without judging. My job, the Bible's very clear, is not to judge the outsider. Those that don't know the Lord, it's not mine or your job to judge them. It's very clear about that. Our job is to judge each other. Our job is to be iron, brother, iron sharpening iron. Our job is to submit ourselves one to another and care for each other and our issues and our needs. To help each other hear. And when we see a brother or sister that's going wrong, to be able to confront them in a loving way and help them to come back. But so what about the world out there? My job to the world is to be a light into that world and to share them who Christ is. But they're not going to like you. They won't. It's okay, though. Believe me, I deal with this all the time. I have counted in the times that I have witnessed and gone and helped with people. I've been shot at twice for being a Christian. Once on State Street and 8 South. It was about 1 in the morning. And I was with somebody and we were passing out invitations to an outreach that we were doing and talking to people about the Lord. And literally, guy comes driving by and he goes, "Stop that, you Christians!" And boom, shoots and blows out the windshield right next to us. The kid that I was training, because that's what we would do, 10 o'clock till 2, 3 in the morning, we walk the streets. And he was walking, he goes, "Do we leave now?" I goes, "No, that means we're doing something good. We keep on going." They missed. And so we keep going. San Jose, California, right next to Shakey's Pizza. A guy comes out, and he comes right on Story and King, and he just shoots. And he says, "Stop, you Christians," and shoots. And all of us went down. There was a big group of us. We all went down. No one got hit. The bullets all went above us. I had a lady that said to me, right here on State Street and 2nd South, she goes, "I can't stand you guys." And she just went, boom. My face was here and half was over here. And I was like, whoa, that hurt. Seriously, spat on. And people said, "Why do you keep doing this?" I said, "Man, they don't understand. If they could only know him like I know him." Now, I'm not here to say, "Look what I've done." I haven't done anything. But I do understand, though. It's my job to live this excellent way. There's a list here. How can I live better? How can I have a better life for me? How can I live this better way? Yeah, people would work hard and get a job and go to college and get money and savings and retirement. Get all that. And you got check, 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 check. Still empty. Why? Because you put this list, this excellent list in you, everything about you changes. Everything will. It's great if you have love and all the provision to bless people. Mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing what God will do. I'm hoping this brought hopefully a little bit more clarity to last week. And yet, it was only me that I was feeling like, oh man, I just felt I wasn't making sense. I share with people all the time. And Pat, we've talked about this. I don't proclaim myself to be a preacher. I don't. It was brought to my attention. Someone had stated, "You don't use notes." You know, in 36 years of preaching or sharing, I've never written a sermon down. I am trying to just share with you my heart. I'm a missionary. I'm a missionary. There are people that are lost, that are hurting. And what is our job to go do? To go bring the light of Jesus Christ to them, that help them understand. One day on a Friday night, and maybe one day even in here, you will see, maybe we'll sing that song. "I once was a prostitute, but Jesus set me free. I once was a wino, but..." Maybe not, I don't know. But for sure over there, that's going to be a beautiful thing. I've asked the worship team, "Hey, I want you guys to be a part of helping me one day lead worship to a bunch of knuckleheads in the neighborhood that I'm working with." So what does that all mean for Tuesday?
Well, you've already been man commissioned. You better do something. Get some roses, get some flowers, do something. Love on the person that you love. Love on your family. Be there. Ladies as well. Guys like things. Hey, I like chocolate. You know, it's just obviously, right? You know, so just, hey, do what you can to bless those around you, but don't let it stop there. Don't let the love that you have just end on Tuesday. Please let it be every day, regardless. St. Valentine, if you guys ever know his story, I'll end with this. He was told it was illegal for him to pursue these weddings. As a minister, he didn't. The king at that time did not want people to be getting married. He wanted them to be single, to be dedicated to his army. Because if they were married, they always thought about their spouses and their children and so on. And he actually made a law not to get married anymore. But Valentine was one that secretly met with people and performed weddings for them. True story. And as he would be in that place, he realized, he goes, we're not going to stop love. So Valentine isn't some little chubby baby with a diaper shooting people with an arrow, okay? Going from cloud to cloud. But truly a man, come on up, guys. Truly a man that realized, if I can do anything, I'm not going to stop love. I'm going to allow and do my part as a minister to perform these weddings so that these people can pursue the love that God has given them. He did his part. And you might say, man, but he broke the law. You stand for biblical value. You stand for biblical value. And sometimes it may be breaking the world's law. Paul went to prison for breaking the law. He didn't have to go to prison. He said, Paul, if you just keep your mouth shut, you don't have to go. But he goes, I'm not going to stop this love that God has. Does that mean someday in the future, you and I, we're going to have to go to jail? I don't know. All I know is that if you and I pursue to just keep sharing God's love, not judging, not condemning, and even Jesus said it in John 3:17. Now, it says about it, he goes, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved, that we would know who he is. Would you stand with me? Let's just reflect in our prayer. You know, go ahead and play. Go ahead and sing, even in the background. I'm going to pray while you're playing. God, I ask you that you help us, Lord. First of all, the primary list, your first list, is that our names be written in the book of life. That, Lord, it says, don't rejoice about anything, but that your name is in the book of life. You told your disciples that. So when it comes to us, Lord, that we need to just make sure that we're saved and we're right with you. That's priority. Second, Lord, you gave us that list about how to defeat the enemy. When we find ourselves always just in a slump or down and out and hurting and struggling. Why? Because the enemy. But Lord, you've given us a list of weapons, a list of armor, how to defeat the enemy. And the enemy isn't a human. It's not a person with blood and flesh. God, as we reach out to those that are around us, you put us in our right place. Some will be teachers and others will be pastors and others have the ability to go and share the good news. Some will go places that no one else will go. But Lord, I pray that you help us to find clarity and direction. Lord, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be doing? But once we understand our title and our position and where we're at, God, we're like an empty shell without love. We could have the grandest title and the grandest position, but God, if we don't have love, we don't have anything. Basically, if we don't have you, we don't have anything. So right now, Lord, as we prepare for a day of loving on those around us, we pray, God, that you would help us to clearly understand, what does love mean? And how I can reach out to those around. But Lord, not just to those that I love and love me back, but what about those people that I could love and they hate me for taking a stand for you, for taking a stand for life, for taking a stand for your blessing of marriage between a man and a woman? God, help. Help us, Lord, not to riot, but to love. A better way, an excellent way. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. In Jesus, Lord, we pray.